Thank you, Lord. Wednesday, 5:7:25. We're going to look at grace again. This is going to be part four. We've established that grace is God's power and equipment to do ministry, and everyone has a ministry. Not everyone has a fivefold ministry. Most operate in the ministry of helps. There's just a small percentage in the body of Christ that are fivefold ministers. Most of the body of Christ come under helps. We're going to look at that. This is 1 Corinthians 12:28. God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, and diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, or all prophets, or all teachers, or all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show unto you a more excellent way. Then he goes on to talk about love. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. So much of the time in the body of Christ, it's a competition. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked. That's a new concept. Not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never fails. So, what is helps? It means relief. They're there to help. The help, like the Holy Spirit, is the helper on the inside that comes along to help us and lead us and guide us into all truth. Okay, Romans chapter 12. Says here, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. See, this is something that if I could impart to any Christian, the first things that a Christian ought to hear, now you're born again, filled with the Spirit. Now you need to do this to find out God's will for you. Where do you fit in the body of Christ? And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. It's going to be a sad day when those that stand before Him that took the advice of the world and went to universities and have degrees after their names and think they've done mighty works, have plaques after their names, and the Lord will say, I don't know you. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. So the measure of faith, we know, activates grace. But the point is, no one should think any highly of themselves over another man, because it's God's grace that equips the power and equipment to do ministry. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil and cling to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. Then it goes on to talk about other things, but I think you get the point here. We're to live in peace with one another, love with one another, esteeming each other in the place that God has chosen for us to be in the body of Christ. No one's above another. Rather, we are fivefold ministry, or ministry of helps. God provides his grace for you to function in his body as you are called to do. No matter where you are placed, you are graced. I remember hearing Kenneth Copeland say, if all the Lord ever tells you to do is take out the trash, he said it'll be the most glorious trip to the trash that's been ever known, because you'll be graced to do it. It will be the greatest thing you ever do, whatever you're graced to do. I believe a misunderstanding of this causes the body of Christ not to flow as it should, because there's a lot of competition. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. No one is better than anyone else. If someone has a higher position, they may have a greater measure of grace for that position, but they are no different as far as in God's eyes. Okay, starting with verse 12 there. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole body were, where the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. He does the selection, not the person. And if they were all one member, where were the body? And now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our heavenly and our comely parts have more abundant comeliness. Doesn't matter if you're the little finger or if you're the brain. For our comely parts have no need. But God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And rather one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you're the body of Christ, and members in particular. And it goes on, I read this a while ago. And God had set some of the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and it shall unto you a more excellent way. In other words, whatever particular time the Holy Spirit is moving and where the Holy Spirit's going, that gift manifests and everyone rejoices with it instead of being jealous or envious because they weren't used.
Well, God don't love me, he don't use me.
Ever heard that? Mm-hmm. Most churches we've been to, that kind of attitude. Okay, all are graced and placed and called according to God's will, not their own will. And he'll reward the same for fulfilling God's plan. Whatever God has chosen for you to do, he placed you and graced you to do it, and you'll get the same reward as apostle. Whatever God gives you to do, Let's go look at Matthew. This is Matthew chapter 20 here. I can't imagine anyone ever pretending to be an apostle because of the responsibility and the flack. I'm thinking, you got to be out of your ever loving mind. I mean, you really do. When you really get into it and you see what it's all about and what you have to go through to stand in that position, you know, it would be good for there to be some way for people to know and be able to see some of it so they would not feel so bad where they've been placed. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying it is the absolute truth. Okay, verse 1 there. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. Again he went out about the sixth hour and ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle and saith unto them, why stand ye here all the day idle? They say unto him, because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came, they were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. When the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. When they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour. Thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. In other words, they went through all the hard stuff. Here these other ones come along. They don't have to suffer too much, but they get the same payment. You're thinking, ah. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? This is God's operation, not man's. Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Well, that's the way it is. That's God can do what he wants. This is his show. And he has placed us in his body as he's pleased, and he's graced us and placed us to do whatever. No one is greater than the other. Some may have more authority or more responsibility than others, and the grace will come alongside to help accomplish. Grace is like oil in an engine. God does the calling and not man, and we don't need manpower. We need God's grace to get it done. It's only by grace. Turn with me now to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Starting with verse 1 there. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew. For had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by a Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. He that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Because they know, this is by grace, it's not by works. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Okay. Peter learned about this grace. We're going to look at him a minute. This is 2 Peter 1, or 2 Peter, I didn't write the chapter. Just a minute, let me find what I was looking for. I wrote the verses. Okay, let me see here. I don't know. Well, it's 2 Peter anyway. 2 Peter. Okay, I think it's the first chapter. Okay. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him which hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I think that's the chapter I was looking for. I'm not sure. Okay. All right. Getting our eyes from position and embracing what God has called us to do and learning to use our grace is a sign of maturity. Okay. We're going to continue. I've got some more scriptures here. Acts 20. 24. I used to wonder, how is God ever going to do all of this before I really had a revelation about his grace? Acts 20:24 says, but none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy in the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. It's all about the grace of God. Romans 1, there's a bunch of scriptures. I put a few down, but there are so many on grace, it's just astounding. Romans 1, starting with 1 there. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his promise in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among whom are you also called, the called of Jesus Christ, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So he is giving glory to God for the grace that causes him to be able to operate in the office that God has called him to. Romans 4:16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. All grace by faith. Romans 5:1-2. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace through God, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Verse 17 of 5, for by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. It's not by our own effort, it's by grace. A lot of people don't know this. 1 Corinthians 1, I'm going to look at 3, start with 3. 1 Corinthians 1, 3. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Believe you have grace and act like it. It's accessed by faith. Negativity negates it. I can't do this. There's no way I can do this. I just don't think I can make it through the day. Or you could say, Lord, your grace is so great. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. It's just a mindset change and a change of your vocabulary. Everybody has a choice. You can struggle or you can have the grace. All right. 1 Corinthians 15:10. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. You think about Moses, 120, eyes not dim, natural forces not abated. Grace. Only by grace. We should not esteem one above another, no matter their position. Yes, we should mutually respect each other, but everyone that is in the body of Christ are graced in place and are doing their part and staying in their lane. For our lane is what we will give an account for to God. What he's asked you to do is what he will ask you to give an account for. Okay. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, was it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also descended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So you know what? You got a body flowing that's everybody's in their place and they're graced. It's going to be powerful. Everybody's over the jealousy and why I didn't get picked for that or God don't use me for that. When you know what you know, that God has chosen you to do a certain thing and you do it, that's your happy place. When I found out what the Lord had finally called me to do and I understood and didn't have to listen to anybody trying to discount me or whatever, it set me free. Absolutely. Where I could do what God's called me to do, ain't nobody can do anything about it. They can't stop it. They can't stop what God has graced and placed. Okay. 2 Corinthians 6. When I found out I didn't have to be subject to a system that pick and choose who they wanted to, and if they didn't like you, you didn't get to do what you needed to do or wanted to do in God. When I found out that that wasn't the way the church really was and how God really was, that set me free. I thought, hallelujah, if I never have to go back to those places, I'll just be the happiest thing. Okay. Never want to be in those places again. Only God's place. All right, 2 Corinthians 6, start with verse 1. We then as workers together with him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted. In the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no offense in anything that the ministry be not blamed. But in all things are proving ourselves as a minister of God in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now for recompense in the same, I speak unto you, my children, be ye also enlarged. It's easy to get bogged down in it and to just not think you're going to make it, but we don't have to be there. 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9. And he said unto Paul here, the Lord, he is wanting him to take this horrible thing off of him. And the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. In other words, Paul, I'd rather be weak and have his strength. Him take it off of me and I not have it. I'd rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. In other words, when I'm weak, the grace kicks in. But when I'm strong, it doesn't. Sufficient here means the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. We must learn to tap into the grace and not lean so much on ourselves and especially our feelings. Our feelings are our biggest problem. Well, I just don't feel this and I just don't feel that. Or I do feel this and I do feel that. Yeah, I know about that. Okay, two more scriptures. Galatians chapter 5. Like I said, there were so many scriptures on grace. Galatians 5:1, it says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again in every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. In other words, works. Works. For we through the Spirit wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. So we can't compromise ourselves. Works of the flesh, it's not part of it. One more, 2 Timothy 2. Starting with verse 1 there. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The thing that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for mastery, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. The husband that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Okay, that's it.